The text is the gospel lesson just read, especially verse 47. For this reason I tell you, her many sins are forgiven because she loved much. Today we celebrate the festival of Mary Magdalene. This early saint is well known to all of us. Jesus cast seven demons out of her. She became one of his early followers, and she was present at the burial of our Lord. She was also the first to learn of our Lord's resurrection. What then of the gospel lesson, the story of the sinful woman? This is the traditional lesson for Mary Magdalene Day, for tradition says that Mary was this sinful woman. Modern scholarship doubts this connection, but frequently church tradition is right in these matters, so it is not inappropriate to consider this text this morning. You are all familiar with the events of Luke's story. Jesus was eating at the house of a respected member of the community, a Pharisee, when his body was bathed and anointed by an ill-respected member of the community, in the words of verse 37, a sinner. Conflict arose. Should this teacher allow a sinner to touch him? Jesus replied with a brief story about two debtors, their debts, and forgiveness. And then occurs the key verse, verse 47. For this reason I tell you, her many sins are forgiven because she loved much. Now just what do these words mean? At first blush, Jesus seems to be saying that this woman's many sins have been forgiven, and that the cause of this forgiveness is the fact that she showed Jesus such great love. That is to say, the last clause or statement seems to give the reason that compelled Jesus to grant her forgiveness. What this would mean then is that the woman merited forgiveness, that she loved Jesus, that Jesus perceived that love, and that as a result he was able to forgive her. Forgiveness would thus be something earned, not something undeserved. And this was exactly the view of this text taken by the Roman Catholic Church at the time of the Reformation, as we find written in the Apology to the Augsburg Confession, Article 4. But might not these words be interpreted differently? Yes, they can. And the key is the little word, hote, because she loved much. What does this word really mean? Well, in Greek and in English, because can be used in two different senses. It can be truly causal, as I have indicated, or in sentences such as, the car crashed because the brakes failed, or the building came down because the foundations gave way. But because can also be evidential, that is, expressing the evidence for the main clause. Here are two examples in English. Oh, that church must be old because it has a raised pulpit. Or, that ship is from England because it is flying the British maritime flag. In each of these cases, the because clause is the evidence for the main assertion. The raised pulpit shows that the church is old, and the British maritime flag shows that the ship is English. In no case is the because clause causal. And just so it is in our text. What does Jesus mean when he says, for this reason I tell you, her many sins are forgiven because she loved much? He means this woman's great love is evidence of the fact that her sins now stand forgiven. Or as the New English Bible so appropriately translates it, I tell you, her great love proves that her many sins have been forgiven. And how do we know this to be true? Why is this interpretation correct? For two reasons. First is the previous context. Jesus' little parable in our text is about evidence of appreciation following upon forgiveness of a debt. He asks, which of the two forgiven debtors will love the master more? Answer, the one to whom he forgave more. So here too, the woman was a manifest sinner. She had, we may assume, many manifest sins to be forgiven. Such was not the case with the Pharisee, so she showed more love. Which leads us to the second reason, namely the context immediately following verse 47, or Jesus' next statement. He says, not whoever doesn't love very much doesn't receive very much forgiveness. Rather, he says, the man to whom little is actually forgiven loves little. The woman felt a great need. She was forgiven much, so she loved much. The Pharisee felt little need. Therefore, he received, both actually and in his own mind, little forgiveness, and so he loved little. In each case, love was evidence of the heart. Now, what does all of this mean for you and for me today? At least two things, I think. The first is that God's forgiveness is always free. It is never merited. It's so easy to forget this fact. Oh, we may not be overt legalists saying that we are saved by the good works that we do, but sometimes subtle forms of legalism may prove attractive. Our text, as we have examined it, warns us of thinking that our love earns God's forgiveness. That is never true. But what about faith? I found it, bumper stickers proclaim. Make your decision for Jesus. Does God save us because we believe? No, our faith is simply passive, a receiving hand, as it were, which humbly and gratefully accepts God's mercies and never points to itself. It is from this point of view that we must understand Jesus' final statement to the woman, the last verse of our text, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is not a new works righteousness. This is not a new way to earn God's favor. Rather, we must understand this statement against the context of Ephesians 2, where Paul says, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and all of this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Secondly, our text tells us that good works are necessary. Absolutely necessary in the sense that one cannot be saved without them? No, not necessary in that sense. The thief on the cross did not do good works, yet he surely was saved. Rather, good works are necessary in the sense that an apple tree necessarily bears apples. A grapevine necessarily bears grapes. A loving husband necessarily shows his wife affection. These results we call necessary, not because they are compelled, but because they follow naturally. And just so it is with faith. Is faith ever alone? Does faith show love and perform good works? One may as logically ask, does an apple tree bear apples? Does a grapevine bear grapes? Does a loving husband show affection? The answer, of course, is yes. And if these things do not happen, no love, no apples, no grapes, no affection, then there is something wrong with the source. Then check the faith, the apple tree, the grapevine, the marriage. In the words of verse 9 of hymn 377, which we sang on Tuesday, faith clings to Jesus' cross alone and rests in him unceasing, and by its fruits true faith is known, with love and hope increasing. Yet faith alone doth justify, works serve thy neighbor, and supply the proof that faith is living. Thanks be to God that to each one of us he has said, your faith has saved you, go in peace. Let us cling to these words forever, as we, good trees all, bear good fruit for his eternal kingdom. Amen.